I would like all the elementary or junior high, if you would like to come on up on these front rows. One of my favorite Sundays that we have each month is all family service. And we have elementary, junior high stay. We don't dismiss. And so come on up, guys, because you're going to be part of the service. And I have some offers for you if you help me with the message today. A couple reasons why we do this once a month. Number one is we're a family. And just like any family, there are diverse age groups in a family, right? And we want to remember that we're a family. And though age-appropriate teaching is really helpful and really good, it's really important that the message we send also to our students is that they are precious to us. That's number two. Do you notice how Jesus treated the young people? He prioritized them, right? And so we love having you guys in service with us. And actually, I really enjoy my favorite services are the all-family services because I have more fun because I give away candy, okay? So today, we are talking about the second metaphor, the second picture in the scripture that God has given us to understand what he is, what it's like to relate to him. And so in order to kind of get that going, let's hit the lights and I want to watch a little video and kind of see what you pick up as you watch this video about what it means for Jesus to be the shepherd and us to be the sheep.
One more time.
Oh, good.
Isn't that good? Kind of says it all, doesn't it? Good morning again. I want to read to you from John chapter 10. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said it again. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he will abandon the sheep and run away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock is scattered. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Okay. What are some things that we can understand about our relationship with Jesus if he's the shepherd? According to what he just told us, if he's the shepherd and we're the sheep, what are some things from that that you can understand that our relationship with him is like or supposed to be like, meant to be like? Yeah. Perfect? Not sure if it's supposed to be perfect. How about you? Okay, we're meant to follow him, right? My sheep will follow me. All right? Yeah? Okay, he cares about us. That's part of our relationship with him, right? Anybody else? Yeah? Huh? We listen to his voice, right? How many times do you think it said that? For that, you get a big chocolate bar, okay? All right. Did you notice the thing that he said the most throughout that passage was, they listen to my voice. They hear my voice. Do you notice that? Over and over again. I have other sheep from another pen, and they too, I must go get them, and they too, he's talking about the Gentiles, and they too will listen to my voice, right? What's the context of the situation that Jesus is painting here? What's the situation? What's the backdrop? What's happening in the world? What's Jesus' worldview according to that passage? What's happening? Roman rule? No. Like according to the sheep shepherd story, what's Jesus assuming in that story? World is hostile to sheep. What kinds of things did he talk about the hostility being? What are some...
A thief and the robber climbing over the pen.
Thieves, what do you want? You want
wolves.
The airhead? You can give it away. Wolves, thieves, robbers. Do you notice that? Yeah, the context. If the church would just understand this. Jesus thinks that this is a very dangerous world. That you're situated. Listen to it. Oh man, I closed it. Maybe I put the bookmarker in here. I did. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter by the sheep gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber, right? He talks about when the wolf comes, the hired hand will leave, right? He will run away. And then he says, the most famous passage here. He says, all who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. What does finding pasture mean? How does that translate to you? Freedom, rest. What did pasture mean for a sheep? Life, right? Food, right? And he says, he will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What did Jesus think the sheep's situation was? Yeah. There's danger. There's danger. Now, if the church would just, what do you like, Reese's? I got Snickers, Airheads. Call it Airheads. All right, you're a stud. All right. We'll come back to more candy in a minute. If only the church would begin to understand it, we live in a very dangerous world. And Jesus describes it by the sheep are surrounded by wolves. There are these false shepherds. There are false gospels, hirelings who present themselves as leaders of men, but are not shepherds after God's own heart. This world's filled with that. And a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what's the offer? What's the offer? The pasture, right? Food, sustenance. And then he says, literally, but the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and life. Right? The reason why this is, we have alive up here, there's going to be a fully attached to it. Fully alive. That's the reason why it says adventure is you fully alive is because of John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and life. What the literally says is bursting life. The word is bursting, exploding life. But there's a thief. There's a thief. And the offer is life. But according to this passage, what's the condition to get that life? What's the condition? I mean, so many Christians feel betrayed by this life to the full thing, right? Because they hear this promise of life. Well, where's that? How come I'm not experiencing a whole lot of that, right? Well, guess what? There's a condition, right? And what's the condition? You listen to my voice and you obey. You don't listen, you're not going to have the life, right? You follow my voice and I will lead you to life. Everything that God has for you at the deeper levels of knowing him, okay? Where am I at here? Hello. I'm missing a slide. That's okay. Let's remember all the, you know, we have these, we're talking about these different metaphors of knowing God. We've got potter, clay, sheep, shepherd. We've got, what does it really mean to be a servant of God? What does it really mean to have work in the kingdom that feels life-giving, where we have a mission that God's called us to? And then we've got sonship, daughtership, to be a daughter or a son of God and experience this full rights as sons and daughters, or a friend of God, or lover with God, that intimate connection. All of those things, the life to the full that you want, that you long for, experiencing the life he has for you, assumes conversational relationship, intimacy with Jesus. It assumes that it's normal. It's normal. Is it hot in here? You guys are okay? All right. If it's hot, just cry out and we'll turn on the air. It assumes that it's normal. It's what we were meant to enjoy, and it's what we're meant to grow into, our ability to hear his voice, to discern what he's saying and be able to interpret what he's doing and to go with it, to follow it, because it's the only possible way in this dangerous world with the false gospels and the thieves and the wolves, all of it, it's the only possible way you're going to find that life that he's talking about. So this morning, I actually just want to tell you some stories about life, okay? I want to tell you some stories. Listening to his voice, following his voice brings pasture. Just crank up my voice to speak over it. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'm getting hot. I need the air. Hearing his voice brings such joy. If you were here, is Bethany here who shared last week? Bethany, are you in the audience? She's not here today. If you were here last week, there was a gal who shared at this mic. Her name was Bethany, and she told the story of meeting Judy Robbie at the Bunko night. You remember that? If you were here, it was amazing. Well, Bethany shared with me a little bit more about her story with my book. So she has been leaning into hearing God's voice in her journey, and so she had been the last few weeks, last month or so, practicing stopping, settling herself, centering herself, and listening to God, and then writing down what she thought she was hearing, and she was reading my book, and so she one day, a couple of weeks ago, says, you know, Lord, what do you want to say to me before I have my quiet time, before I read? What do you want to say to me? And she heard, as she shared, go to Starbucks, take Randy's book, read his book there, and somebody from Adventure Church is going to show up and talk to you. Remember that? She shared that last week. Well, let me just read to you what she read when she was reading my book. So here's the section. She goes to Starbucks. She believes she hears God telling her to do it. She's a little bit perplexed by that. And then she gets to Starbucks and she reads this. And this is from page 75 in the book. this is me speaking in here. I come from a God spoke directly to the people in the Bible. But when the Bible was complete, well, that was that. God quit speaking, kind of Christianity. And the Christian heritage I grew up with was the one I taught. I remember preaching, you can't trust anybody saying God told me because it's probably just a power play, okay? And I wrote, and it can be, right? Folks who have a deep need to feel important can feel significant instantly by offering, well, the Lord told me, the Lord has spoken to me kind of statements. Not only that, but how can you argue with God said, right? But those power players should be careful. Moses commanded that people who pretend to hear God and prophesied inaccurately should be stoned in Exodus 13. Also, if you're like me, you've tuned into Christian television and found some pretty wacky things that make you want to run as far away from the supernatural stuff as possible. But have we thrown out the baby with the bathwater? Scripture's filled with example after example of people having conversations with God that are give and take, back and forth. For example, I put in there in Acts chapter 9, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. Right? And the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying in a vision that he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man, and all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he's come here with the authority of the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, before the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And then I write in there, the first thing that hits me, now this is Bethany sitting in Starbucks reading this, and she's reading this paragraph. The first thing that hits me about this interaction is how conversational it is. God might as well have said, I want you to go to Starbucks on Elm Street at 2 o'clock next Wednesday, talk to a barista there named Sally. Although all through Scripture you notice how specific and direct and clear God's interactions are, that's simply how he speaks. If it's not clear, if it's somewhat vague, if you're not sure exactly what he's saying, it's probably not God. One of his names is Word. So he's an accomplished communicator. Many imagine that if God did speak directly to them, it would be some grandiose affair. The clouds would part and form the shapes of the continents. And then the sky would grow dark, and a booming voice would say in King James English, go forth unto the nations. But in Ananias' case, it wasn't like that at all. It's pretty conversational, even seems common, as though Ananias had many conversations with God. Ananias isn't surprised to say, oh, God, you're talking to me? Wow, that's weird. He just interacts like any conversation. In fact, it appears to be normal. The thing that grabs me about this passage is that Ananias argues back a little bit. But Lord, I've heard many reports. Ananias obviously felt safe enough to interact with God to share his concerns about God's plan. And notice God doesn't respond to Ananias with, who do you think you are talking back to Almighty God? Instead, he respects Ananias and gives him more insight into the situation. Could this be how God wants to speak to you? Does he want to give you specific and detailed directions for your life? Most often when I ask people how they experience God and hearing God, it's at best a sense or an impression, not specific and not detailed like Ananias' experience here. How about you? What's been your experience? Have you ever heard God speak to you? If so, was it clear? Was it specific? How did you know it was God? Would you like to speak with God as Ananias did? And do you think it's possible in our day and age? Or is conversational communication with God reserved for a few special folks to whom God particularly chose to interact with in the Bible? So what's awesome to me about Bethany's experience was, do you notice how God spoke to her and then he self-validated his words? He loves doing that. He will do that for you because I got to tell you the truth, at least 50 to 60% of the time when I hear God and I write down in my journal what I think I'm hearing, I believe it's God, but I'm not sure. I mean, we have active imaginations. We are truly brilliant and creative creatures, and my heart speaks really loud, and sometimes I think it's God, and there's an enemy who speaks, and his voice can sound like God's, right? He even quoted scripture to Jesus. This is why Dallas Willard said, when you get into the realm of hearing God, you enter into a spiritual hard hat area. That means that things can fall on your head. But, he also adds, but if you want to build a house, you put the hard hat on and you go in and you build the house. We don't run away from it because it's challenging and difficult. It is the right of every Christian to have. Watch this verse. Galatians 4, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive what? Say it really loud. Say this, I have full rights as a son or daughter. I have full rights as a son. I know some of you said, or daughter, but you know what I meant. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. What's Abba mean? Familiar, hug, snuggle level, intimacy, okay? This is what he's offering. And he says, Abba, Father, so you are no longer a slave, but what? A son, a daughter. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Conversational intimacy with God is one of your rights as sons or daughters of God. And it's so easy. Hear me on this, guys. It's so easy after giving our lives to Christ to still live as slaves. Let that sink in. Or slip back into living as slaves. You're no longer a slave. You're a son. You're a daughter. Right? It's so easy to slip back into that slave mentality, and if we don't behave out of a place of sonship, right? I am embraced by God. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. If we don't do that, things like hearing God, just interpreting our circumstances, will become very, very hard. It'll become confusing. So we are walking through the metaphors in Scripture. From potter clay. Sheep shepherd is what we're going to spend this next several weeks on, is talking about hearing God's voice. we're talking about this because these metaphors are driving us toward greater intimacy with God, and intimacy with God is what we really need. It's what I desperately need. We need God more intimately. And the truth is, there are no shortcuts to knowing God. To know him, we must diligently seek him. Dallas Willard said, in order to know God, I must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from my life. Why? Why would Dallas Willard say, to know God, I must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from my life? What? Be still and know that I'm God. Right. If you are on a motorcycle going 75 miles an hour and God's speaking from a boombox on the side of the road, you're going to probably miss it. Does that make sense? You can't hear God while you're going 75 miles an hour all the time. Morgan Snyder said, when I am busy, the Father is silent. When I'm busy, the Father is silent. We need to learn the skill of tuning in, perking our ears to the Lord, and listen to Jesus' voice. And so this month's metaphor is that sheep shepherd. And there's a couple of things that that we need to get on this stair, on this place. What do sheep need to get? They need to learn to listen to his voice, and they need to learn to follow it. They need to learn to follow it. So give me some feedback here. What did you notice in that video, that opening video? Okay? What were some things that you saw or that caught your attention with that opening video with the sheep and the shepherd? Yes. The people who weren't the shepherds were embarrassed to do the calls. Yes.
Like at the end, all the sheep looked up.
When the shepherd called, when one of the test people called, you know, at least one of them called out, and at least at that point, one sheep looked up. Like the most the non-shepherds got was one sheep looking up for about a second. Did you notice that? And then it went back down. What happened when the shepherd did? When the shepherd spoke? It was like the satellite dishes went, you know. Lucy.
The sheep came to the shepherd immediately.
I noticed not just the shepherd called, but just the way that he called his relation with them, the way he talked to them, and you know, the way his voice projected out to them was different, a lot different.
How was it? Okay, Jamie's saying his voice was different in terms of how he called out. How would you describe it? That's a great point. How would you describe it? Yeah, different. But we could pick up on the familiarity, couldn't we? I mean, even his tone seemed different, didn't it? You want Airhead? Come on, you can give it away. You can give it away. Yeah.
No, I was thinking about it because the people who were like practicing were like, dah, 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 dah. It was really fast. And so it's funny that you said you have to slow down because the shepherd didn't talk to them quickly. He was like, come over here, guys.
So Beth's saying that even the shepherd didn't talk quickly. All the other ones did da 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 really fast, but the shepherd was... he had this, there was a weight to it, you know? And it's like when you hear the Lord's voice, there is a weightiness to his voice. He is not hurried. It's really interesting. Have you ever noticed that? Those of you who hear God regularly, he does not get rushed with, you know? At least he doesn't for me. He doesn't respond to my rushedness. Yeah. He had a confident call. What do you want? Reese's? Airheads. Here. I'll give you two. Don't. All right. Unamas.
I think the other part was they immediately responded, but then he walked off screen, calmly walked around, and he's walking that
way. They fell into you know, you're going to get a, because you teach our, you deserve a yes. He had a gentle voice. Do you want candy? He had a gentle voice. All right, we're gonna hold off. We're gonna get. Hey, okay. Yes. The sheep answered back. Did you hear that? That's an awesome point. The sheep. We're hold off. The sheep answered back. Yeah, it's a conversation. Okay, so what's all this about? What's the theatrics about here? There's a conversation available to you. There's a conversation. What's interesting is I want you to think about Jesus in Palestine telling John 10. Okay? Imagine, what did the Palestinians know and experience about sheep and shepherds? That video. For them, that was norm. For us, we're like, oh my goodness, they're following. They're only listening to his voice. That's wild. I remember that in the Bible somewhere. But for them, it was like Jesus is going, yeah, when the shepherd speaks, they listen to his voice and they follow. Jesus is describing what every Jewish person, what every Palestinian, in their mind, it's like instantly they knew this relationship between shepherd and sheep. It was just normal. And so when Jesus is talking about that relationship, it's like crystal clear focus for them. Oh, there is a tuned in nature there. look at this guy. Okay, all the girls. Oh, come on. All the guys too. All right. That is the cutest sheep face. I looked for the cutest sheep face I could find. But what I love about that picture is he just looks so tuned in, doesn't he? He's just dialed in. I wanted us to have that picture because when Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice, the Greek word there is akouo or akouao. And it means two things, to hear, and it also means to attend to. Attend to is a little different, right? Attend to is like, I'm tuning in and I'm going to respond. I'm attending to you. okay. Those ears tuned in, that's what Jesus wants us to understand from this picture. That's the condition of life to the full. The condition is you listen and you follow. And you might think to yourself, oh, really? Listening to him all the time? Jaden jokes around with me. I'm going to use you an example. He meets with Jeff Hansen regularly for mentoring. And those two guys meet, and he asks Jeff questions, right? And Jeff always says, let me ask Jesus. And let me pray about it. Let me go listen. And so Jaden was just cracked. You know, he's like, you know, Randy, you know, can I have a pop out of the refrigerator? You know, and he's like, or do you need to go pray about it, you know? And so he was kidding me about that. But it's that tuned in attentiveness. And you might think, really asking God all the time about stuff? That's exhausting, right? Wouldn't that be an exhausting life? Nobody wants to say yes. Well, God says coming to me and being that tuned in will only feel exhaustive or oppressive until you do it. It'll only feel oppressive until you actually do it and listen and tune in. Just do it for the joy of it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, whoever enters through me will come in and go out and find pasture. Do it for the pasture. Okay, so last spring, we wanted to go to Disneyland. Okay, and so I had about $1,000 in the bank, and I had all these bills coming in, and it was about 6 weeks until the date for our vacation. It was late spring, and we were having this conversation with the kids, and was like, "Wouldn't it be cool if we went to Disneyland like this summer? Let's do it. You know, let's find a way to do it. We'll save money. We'll drive down. We'll figure it out." We didn't have the money. All I could sock away was $1,000, and as I started to really look at the finances, about a month before the trip, I'm like, "Okay, I got to have the hard conversation with the kids. I got to tell them we can't pull it off. We can't do it." I stopped and I asked Jesus, what should I tell the kids? We can't do it. Do you want us to go to just camp somewhere nearby, cheap, you know, somewhere cheaper, you know? And he said, no, I want you to take them to Disneyland. I want you to take them to Disneyland. I'll take care of it. Can you imagine God telling you that? I want you to just wrap your mind around God telling you, no, I want you to go to Disneyland. Is that who he is? So I'm like, okay, I think I'm hearing you, Lord, you know? So I told the kids, Jesus says we're going to Disneyland. So it's a week before. I have still $1,000, okay? Tickets, we wanted to at least go, if we're going to drive that far, we want at least 2 days in the theme park. It's $130. There's eight of us times 2 days is 16 tickets, right? $130. Somebody do the math. Come on. Somebody do the math. Is that right? Huh? That's not 100. All right. all right. So we're that 2008. You're a stud, man. Here, I'm just going to give you three airheads just because you deserve, because you hate them. Two of them. Here you go. So we're there. We're a week before, and I'm like, okay, I have the tickets on the computer up, and I'm about to click charge my card. And I'm like, I guess I'll just have to pay for them with my credit card, you know? And I can't click it. You know, wait on the Lord. Okay, so I'm like, Lord, we're getting close, you know? Did I hear you? Did I hear you? And I didn't click. I'm like, I'm not doing it. And I got a text later that day. Hey, I heard you're going to Disneyland. I have 14 hopper passes with executive privileges that I'd like to give you. 14. Okay, so, and I'm like, where's the other two? You know, but no, I didn't say that. I'm like, oh, thank you so much. You know, I can't believe it. And so I'm like, so we're like excited. And then the next day, a check comes in the mail from my mortgage company that says we had too much money in the escrow account, and so we're refunding you $2,700. Now, I had $1,000, so that makes $3,700, and I had told my family it's going to cost us $3,500 to do this trip. So now I had $3,700 and 14 hopper passes. Okay, so I'm like, this is crazy. So we go to Disneyland, right? And we get there, we had a ball. We had executive privileges, which means we show up to the cordoned off area for the parade, you know? And I'm like, hi, my name's Randy Lawrence. Oh, Randy Lawrence. Yes, sir, come in here. They had seats for us on a balcony so that, and then the parade goes by and they stop in front of us and every actor and actress waves at us. It's just our family, okay? We go to the light parade, right, or the light show. Oh, yes, Mr. Lawrence, here, come in. And they had cordoned off seats just for us in the best seats in the house and then we get back the first day and I check my email and here's the other two tickets in my email. But unfortunately, we had already bought two because we figured just use the extra passes. So now we have these two extra tickets. So then the day after we finished our second day, we were able to go to the ticket counter and wait for people and just go, would you like a free ticket? We were like, Abby and I did. We were praying, Lord, who should get this? And that was as fun as going to Disneyland. I mean, watching these people's faces, giving them free tickets. So what's my point? If I hadn't heard the Lord's voice, I would have canceled the trip. If I didn't ask Jesus, we wouldn't have gone. Okay? Whoever enters through me will come in and go out and find pasture, life to the full. Right? Yeah, that actually can mean Disneyland. Right, and I have 100 stories like that now. Just a small one. A month ago, I was in a retreat in Colorado, I was a facilitator at a retreat for young men. There were young men in their 30s, and it was an intensive. There were 50 young men and 30 of us old guys, and I was at this retreat, and the first day I lost my phone. I looked everywhere. I searched for it up and down. I tore my bed apart. I went through my backpack 2 times. I went to the meeting hall, the dining hall, checked the car, checked every walk area I went to. I asked every leader and felt like a dork. Have you seen a yellow phone? I can't find my yellow phone. If anybody turns on a yellow phone, I'm the dork who can't find his phone. And there's no service, so you can't call your phone and get it to ring because we're in the middle of nowhere. And so I finally just let it go. And then the next night, I was in a quiet time. They'd sent us off to pray. And I'll just read to you my journal. Lord, what do you want me to do? Randy, I want you to love me. I want you to walk with me only for me. To love me as though I'm enough for you. Love me as your source. Don't run from or to anything. Run to me. Simply run to me. And I wrote back, Lord, I do run to you. What I need is union with you, God. I can't have that without seeking you with all my heart and prioritizing you with my time. Lord, I come to you now. Here I am. By the way, where's my phone? I'm like, I wrote that. I'm like, by the way, I'm like, I got you talking, I think. I think it's you versus my own head or whatever. It's in your pack. And I'm like, I looked in that thing, turned it upside down and tore it apart two times. Really? Yep, it's in your pack. Okay. And then he goes on, you're holding back things. You're holding back what I've given to you. And he's going on and stuff he wants me to deal with. So I'm like walking up to the cabin. I'm like, I know it's not in my pack. And I unzip the front pouch and it's sitting right there. Did he like transport it from wherever it was? I mean, how did it get there? You know what I'm saying? Was I just blinded to it when I went through that pouch twice before? If you go in and out, right? Whoever enters through me will come in and go out and find pasture. Something, it was something small. It was a small thing, but he cared about it. He cared about it. It was stressing me out a little bit. You know what it's like to lose your phone, right? So it was really fun to open that outer pouch. One other verse here. Notice this. We use this verse a lot for salvation, for helping people come to know Christ. But look what it's actually not in the context of sharing Christ. It works for that, to help somebody become a Christian. But Jesus is actually talking to Christians, and he says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, what? Hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You find this all through Scripture, example after example. Listening to God is so life-giving. It's one rescue after another. And so we do it for the life, but we also do it, we also listen to him to be saved from the wolves. To be saved from the wolves. There are wolves out there. Nick and I, we listen to the Lord together. We pray together a lot as we plan services and stuff. And we do it Wednesday afternoons. And one Wednesday afternoon in January, a couple of years ago, we were sitting there in my office. And for about 20 minutes, we were just listening and writing in our journals. And Nick, where are you? Do you remember God saying to me, Randy, I want you to draw very close to me, right, very soon, for what's coming? Do you remember that? He said, here's the exact quote. He said, Randy, I want you to draw very close to me. Something is coming that you will need to be very close to me to make it through. And that was January 8th, 2014, the week before my late wife, Debbie, and I went on our 25th anniversary cruise. And God was beginning the rescue before the storm began to blow. Okay? And 2 weeks on a cruise, and the day after we returned, we were in the hospital. And as you guys know, 35 days later, she went to be with the Lord. And while we were on the cruise, my daughter Kelsey had a dream that her mom was in the hospital with a catheter in her chest. And my now son-in-law, Garrett, had a dream that she had gone home to be with the Lord. God was preparing them too, protecting all of our hearts, see? And when Debbie and I would pray and we'd listen to the Lord, he would say over and over again, God, you know, we would say, God, do you intend to heal her in this physical life? Do you intend to heal her? How should we pray? And again we heard God say, what I'm about to do is wondrous in my sight. Debbie will be loved as she was always meant to be loved. And I can't tell you how hearing God's voice and being surrendered with the potter clay step, how that rescued us in that situation. It rescued my heart, it rescued Debbie's heart, it rescued our kids' heart. Because think of all the wolves that could come in there. Is this happening because somebody sinned? Is this happening because we didn't have enough faith? You know what? What? No, no, no to all those wolves. No. Rescued. Okay? And I know, ladies and gentlemen, I know it's a heavy illustration, but the truth is you will face heavy situations in your life. And there's a thief and there are wolves and there is pasture. And you're going to need to hear and follow the shepherd to find that pasture. You're going to face hardships in this life. And the question is, would you like God's input and God's perspective going through them? Right? You can't know enough Bible verses to get through this life. For it to give you the wisdom you need, should I take this job? Should I date this person? Should I marry that person? My son is dark and withdrawn lately. What's going on? How do I approach him? Should I go to counseling or should I push into this darkness? Am I called to the mission field? What mission or ministry should I take on? Should I take this phone call? Right? There are just too many. Life is too complex for us to rely on, you know, any simple one-track answer you need to have a conversational relationship with God to direct you, right? Turn left, turn right, okay? So we're out of time. We're going to continue this next week. Seth is going to be speaking on how-tos, how to hear God's voice. So, you know, we're not covering it all in one hit here. The following week, we're going to be talking about the Word of God and its importance and how to hear God's voice in the Word of God and the authority of Scripture and how critical it is in our lives. And the huge source of hearing God is the Word. And so we're going to be continuing on with this study on hearing God's voice and the sheep and the shepherd. So let you guys see our announcements before we take off. We have a offering. Thank you so much. So Jerry's going to come up, and he's going to lead the offering. I looked at the clock and got a little disheveled.
It's all right. We can be disheveled.
Yeah, I feel that way.
It happens sometimes.
I'm good.
So, yeah, I do need that. Thanks. So I want to take offering in just a moment, if you need a minute to prepare that. But I want to just very briefly talk with you about offering before we do that. And I love Jaden last week when he was talking about, I asked God what should happen, very much along the line of what Randy's talking about, and God said, yeah, put everything in your wallet in the offering basket, which was really cool to hear. But what was required with that of Jaden? Hearing and obeying, faith and trust in God, trust in God's heart that God was going to take care of his needs, faith that God was going to do that. And that was really, really a cool picture. And when we go to God with our offering, it's not just with our financial resources. It's in every area of our life. And I've had a really cool experience the last week. I've had a man who's been, we've been praying for each other. We've been talking with each other throughout the week about different things going on in our life. And just the fact that he's been praying for me changed something in my life this week. My spiritual posture, my spiritual self, my spiritual life felt different. It felt lighter. It felt like there's something going on that having this man do this in my life changed in my very spirit. And it was an incredibly cool week. Do you know how many times, quick question for any of you, Bible scholars out there, do you know how many times in the Bible we're directed to share each other's burdens, to go to God together? Anybody? Nobody? I don't actually know either. So if somebody wants to look that up, you can bring it back next week and figure it out. But it is a lot. It's a lot. I've just been doing a First Thessalonians study, and it talks about that very thing. And it does make a difference, as I've experienced this week. Did you know that there's a group of folks in the community here, in the family here, that have a heart to do that for you? Every Sunday, they're here at the end of service, ready to share your burdens with you. And I guarantee you, Scripture tells us to do this. I guarantee you it works. I guarantee you that something happens spiritually. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. But God moves when we do that for each other. So as we take our offering and watch the announcements, I just want you to take a few moments and ask the Lord, as Randy was talking about, hear his voice. Is there something that he would have you bring into this time and have a community surround you and pray for you? Maybe it's a work issue, maybe it's a relational issue, sickness, illness, whatever it is, ask him. And these folks will be up here in the front row, and they can pray with you after service. So let's go ahead and pray for offering, and then we'll have a few quick announcements here. Jesus, thank you for what you've done that makes all of this possible, Lord, that we now have a restoration through you that allows us to approach you, Father, that we can clearly and fully hear your voice because we are restored to you. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that we can go to you with our offerings, whether it's financial, whether it's our cares, our burdens, our praises. Lord, thank you that we have that kind of relationship with you. Jesus, I just pray that we that you would bless our offering as we bring that to you this morning, and use it, Lord, to further your kingdom. Use it to bring that message to this world, that there is more. There is relationship, and there is a life to the full available with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the guys will drop them off. You can get them to the back, and a couple quick. You guys want to click that through?